We're learning Yeshaya Perek Yudtes, Pasuk Yudalid. We were talking about the downfall of Mitzrayim, their economy, the Nile will dry up and their economy will collapse. We talked about the foolishness beginning in Pasuk Yudalif, Achavilim Sorei Tzoan, the officers of Tzoan are like fools. Where are the wise men? Nobody's able to advise the country what to do. And it's a question which we'll continue discussing through this year, exactly when this Nevuah happened. But most Mephorshim connect this with Sancheiriv's defeat in Yerushalayim. After Sancheiriv and the army of Ashur conquered Mitzrayim, then they went to Eretz Yisrael, and on the night of Pesach, after conquering the whole country, when he was outside Yerushalayim, his army was wiped out. And then Mitzrayim was totally stunned. They didn't know how to react. What should they do? And the wise men didn't have an advice what they should conduct themselves. And we'll see what the outcome of all this was. In Pasuk Yudalid, Hashem Mosach Bekirbov. Hashem has poured into Mitzrayim Ruach Ivim, like a spirit of insanity. Rashi says, a choli shel tiruf hadas, where a person's mind is all confused and he has a sickness that he's confused. He doesn't know what to do. V'hisu es Mitzrayim b'chol ma'aseyu. And they've caused Mitzrayim to stray in all of their actions. Kihita os shikar bekiyo, as a drunk person staggers and strays bekiyo with his vomit. One shot is that like a drunkard who's so drunk and he's reached the stage where he's already vomiting, and he's totally unaware of what he's doing at that point, so to Mitzrayim doesn't know how to react. The Malbim learns it's a disgusting thought to describe it like that, but like the drunkard who's reached such a level of intoxication where he doesn't know what he's drinking, and like he toes shikor bekiyo, like in his own vomit he thinks it's some good drink and he drinks his own vomit. So Mitzrayim, it's sort of, they'll be hit with a spirit of insanity, that they'll do things that are crazy and don't make sense, and they've repelled it like a drunkard vomiting out the alcohol that's upsetting his system, and he vomits it out, and then he goes right back to the same mistakes and the same course of action. This spirit of Ruach Ivim, of insanity, could be going on the Sarim, on the officers, on the leaders of Mitzrayim, that it spoke about in the Pesukim before, like in Pasuk Yud Beis, Ayom, where are they? Eifel Chachamecha, where are your wise men? Do they exist? And if it's, where are they? V'yagidun Allah, if they are around, they're certainly not here to tell you what to do. And it seems that they don't even exist, that v'yedu, they should know, mayotz Hashem tzvokos al Mitzrayim, what Hashem has given a counsel, what's going to happen to Mitzrayim. It seems the wise men don't know what to advise, what counsel to give. This is all part of that Ruach Ivim. And it could also be that the wise men, who could have known better, didn't look for the truth and didn't look for the emes. And the multitude, the hamonam, the commoners, were those that were given a spirit of insanity that they themselves didn't know how to react. The wise men weren't interested in telling them the truth, and the commoners had this spirit of insanity, but the result was Mitzrayim had no way of taking a good course of action. V'lo yiyeh l'mitzrayim masa. Mitzrayim won't have any action that is considered to be a well thought out, a planned out action. Asher yaseh rosh v'zonov, an action that's done by a leader, v'zonov or a tail, meaning the pechusim, those that are the tails of the people, the low of society, or it could be it means a lowly official. But there won't be any action done by a rosh, and not by a zonov, not by the great, and not by those that are minor. Kipa va'agmon, not those done by a branch, meaning someone who's strong. Va'agmon is like a reed, someone who's weak. Nobody will have a plan that will be successful. Rashi connects it with the chartumim and the itztagninim, hachozim b'kochovim, those who know the different types of astrology. Which is interesting because he points out, Rashi says, sheyesh birakia mazolos v'kolchovim. There are different constellations and stars, hamachunim kain, that are known by that title as the head, and this group of stars looks like a tail, and the astrologers would choose their plan of action based on what the sky told them. But over here, whether they're following the rosh v'zono of the head or the tail, the keep of Agmon, the branch, or the reed, Mitzrayim won't have a course of action. Vayomahu, on that day, Yeh Mitzrayim Kanoshim. Mitzrayim will be like women. The simple meaning is, as Mitsuda says, Teshushe Koach, they'll be weak. Barake Levov, and they won't have the courage, Kanoshim as women. V'chorad, and Mitzrayim will tremble. They'll have a fright. U'pochad, and they'll be afraid. Mipnei tenufas yad Hashem tzvokos, because of the waving of the hand of Hashem tzvokos, asher hu meinifalov, that Hashem kaviyochel, as if Hashem is waving his hand to strike Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim will have this fear. Well, they'll tremble and they'll have a fear because of the blows from Hashem. Rashi says, "V'hoisa admas Yehuda leMitzrayim lechaga, kisheyishmu hanosorim b'Mitzrayim." When those that remain in Mitzrayim, mishvi Sancheiriv, from those that were captured by Sancheiriv, after Sancheiriv conquered Egypt, he took many of the people into captivity. And he dragged them with him as he went to capture Eretz Yisrael. But there were those that remained behind. And when they hear us, Mapalto Sheyipo be'Eretz Yehuda, when they hear how Sancheiriv fell in the land of Yehuda, below Shumil Chomos Roa Bosar, without any battle waged by humans, his army is going to be camped outside Yerushalayim, and the Malach comes that night of Pesach, and the next morning they're all dead. And Chazal has discussed, which we've mentioned in earlier Prokim, there's a machlokis in the Gemara, how they were burnt up. According to one opinion, their neshama was burnt and the bodies were intact. So like everyone was camped around, and they're all dead. Yedu Mitzrayim will know, ki yesh shechina b'Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael, u'moshiyam chozak, and their Savior, the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael, is strong, v'yiru v'yivchadu, and they'll have this fear, mipnei admas Yehuda, because of the land of Yehuda. This is actually the Rashi in the next pasuk, which we'll get to in a moment. But they're going to have a fear of Hashem, and they're going to have a fear of the land of Yehuda. Mitzrayim will be kanoshim as the women. The Ibn Ezra has an interesting explanation. Ibn Ezra says, "Biyom acher, there'll be another day. Sheyishma b'tchila ela hagzeros shegozer Hashem alav. Mitzrayim will hear the gezeros that Hashem will decree. Or is that another point in time? They're going to hear that Hashem again is warning Mitzrayim that there's going to be a punishment. Uvo, and it's going to come in oz yifchad me Hashem." Then Ibn Ezra will have a fear of Hashem. Ibn Ezra seems to learn this with a fear of Hashem. which is a beautiful thought. If so, the pasuk is saying, "Yeh Mitzrayim kanoshim," the Mitzrayim will be like women. The truth is, to a certain extent, women are more sincere than men. In terms of their Yiras Hashem, in terms of Emunah Pshuta, in terms of, on an emotional level, very often, a man has more seichel, more intellectual. He's usually more intellectual, and the women are more emotional. The Gemara says that somebody is malamidas bito Torah, kilu malamdo tiflus, which sometimes means somebody will learn, when he learns Gemara and he's used to the back and forth and his mind is constantly involved in thinking in different calculations, very often it's on an intellectual level. But the simple, plain Yiras Hashem is described as, according to Ibn Ezra, Yeh Mitzrayim Kanoshim, they'll be like women, meaning they'll have that fear of Hashem. The sincere belief, which at certain times serves the person better than his intellectual understanding. It's well known, the Yaivitz, who was one of the Rishonim, mentions that by the Spanish Inquisition, there were the Jews that had the simple belief in Hashem were able to withstand the test, and those that were into philosophy and into the deeper understanding of how things work and appreciating who Hashem is, but those that were very intellectual very often were not able to stand up to the test of being Moser Nefesh during the times of the Spanish Inquisition in the 1400s. But by Yom HaHu, on that day, Yeh Mitzrayim Kanoshim, the women, the Mitzrayim will be like women. And the simple meaning is, as the Mitzuda says, that they'll be weak and they won't have the courage, which, as I say, is also, a lot of these things serve the women well. I always tell my children, you know, for drivers, the women are the ones who are considered safer drivers. It's not always good to be courageous. But over here, in terms of battling, Mitzrayim will be kanoshim, they won't have the courage, they'll be weak. V'chorad! And they'll tremble, and they'll have a fear. And the Malbim explains, sometimes a person, charoda, is a sudden shock. Like when Yitzchak gave the brachas to his son. And then afterwards Esav came in. And all of a sudden he realized the one who was there was Yaakov. And he gave it to the wrong person. And it was a sudden awareness. Vayechrad Yitzchak charoda gedoyla. Yitzchak had a charoda. Charoda is like a sudden fear. Or Boaz was lying, and we learned in Rus, he was watching his grain at night, and all of a sudden he gave a tremble, he realized somebody else was there. V'nei Isha Shocheves Margalosov, he also was aware Rus was there. But it was like a sudden shock. That's a charoda. V'yechrad ha'ish v'yilofes. A pachad is like a dread. Somebody can see that something terrible is going to happen. It's not here right now, but he just foresees they're going to be difficult, hard times. Ufacharata laila v'yomam, it says in the Tochacha. You'll have a pachad laila v'yomam, night and day. Means it's an ongoing dread. Or ashrei adam mefachei tamid. The pasuk says, fortunate is a person who's always has a pachad from his sins. He's always afraid maybe he's not doing, serving Hashem sufficiently. And there's other psukim like this. Charoda is a sudden terror, and a pachad is a constant dread. Now there's a difference. Sometimes a person is shocked, and he has a charoda. And as soon as he sees what he's confronted with, he realizes it's not so scary, and it's not such a danger, and then he doesn't have a pachad. He had a charoda, but then he realizes as soon as he comes to his senses, that's nothing to be afraid of. So he had a charoda without a pachad. On the other hand, sometimes a person can have a pachad, he has a dread, he doesn't know what's going to be, he has this fear, and then it doesn't materialize. There's no charoda, it's not like he has right in front of him something to afraid him. He had this dread of the future and nothing materialized. But here, Vayomahu Yeh Mitzrayim Kanoshim, on that day, there'll be a time when Mitzrayim will be Kanoshim, V'chorad, they'll have the sudden tremble, upochad, but and when they realize what they're confronted with and what's shocking them, but it'll continue as a pachad. Mipnei tenufas yad Hashem tzivokos. Because of the waving of the hand of Hashem, waving is like an insignificant, like the blow hasn't happened yet. It's like somebody, Kaviyocha, waving his hand like he's about to give a strike and a blow. But it's a hint, it's a sign of what's going to happen. But there'll be such a fear of Hashem because of the tenufa, just waving the hand, will already at that point they'll have a fear. Asher hu meini falov, that Hashem is going to wave his hand to strike Mitzrayim, and at that point they'll have this strong fear from Hashem. V'hoysa admas Yehuda l'Mitzrayim l'choga, the land of Yehuda will be for Mitzrayim as a choga. Choga means a source of fright. Rashi says, Loshen shever ve'emo pachad, to be broken and have dread and fear. Like Yochogu, Rashi connects it with Yochogu v'yanoo kashikar, like somebody who staggers, like a drunk person staggers and he's not secure and he's moving around out of fear. And so the land of Yehuda will be for Mitzrayim l'choga, a source of fright. Kol asher yazkir osai lov, whoever mentions the land of Yehuda, and they make mention of it to Mitzrayim, Yifchad, he'll be afraid. Mipnei atzas Hashem tzvokos, because of the counsel of Hashem tzvokos, asher hu yoetz alov, what Hashem has devised against Mitzrayim will produce a fear that even mentioning the land of Yehuda, the Mitzrayim were into onanim. They would take a good omen if something was mentioned to them. That'd be a source of, it's a good sign, it's a bad sign. If you just mention Admas Yehuda, and thinking about what happened over there, that they had the whole army of Sancheiriv, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Hashem Tzvokos, that Hashem is the one who controls everything, the Lord of Hosts, Asher Hu Yoetzalov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now, has counsel against his enemies. Rashi says, "Lahapilo biyad sancheiriv, v'Yehuda yimaleit miyado." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have Mitzrayim fall into the hands of sancheiriv, and Yehuda is going to escape from sancheiriv. Yehuda will be spared. And when Mitzrayim sees what's happening, they'll have this fear from Hashem, and even just the mention of the land of Yehuda will strike fear and dread in Mitzrayim. The Abar Benel is the one Pirish that seems to learn these psukim are talking about the future. But most of the Meforshim L'Asi Lovo, most of the Meforshim learn that this is connected after the downfall of Sancheiriv, the psukim that we're going to mention. And exactly when it happened, it doesn't seem to, we don't see the upheaval that the psukim are going to discuss, what happened in the land of Mitzrayim. We haven't gotten to the full extent. But we're going to see the total turnaround of Egyptian society doesn't seem to have happened right after Sancheiriv. I saw that Das Sofrim explains that it could be there were only a few cities that were affected, but it laid the groundwork in Mitzrayim for the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see another few psukim and see how this develops. Bayomahu, on that day, it could be it's the same day we're talking about, it could be Bayomahu means a different day. But Bayomahu, there's going to be on that day, Yu Chomesh Orim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, there will be five cities in the land of Mitzrayim, Midabro Sfas Kanaan, and they'll speak the language of Canaan, V'nishpos Hashem Tzvokos, and they'll swear by the name of Hashem Tzvokos, meaning they'll swear is that that's the one they believe in, the one that they believe is listening and supervising and has the ability to punish them if they break their word, and they swear by Hashem because they know that Hashem is the one that can enforce and can control, and that's the one they believe in. So they're going to swear L'Hashem Tzvokos. Ir haheres yomer le'echos. Ir haheres. Now the word heres is very often darshened, is expounded. The hay and the ches are interchanged. And heres is used in certain psukim to refer to the sun. So ir haheres can mean the city of the sun. Ye yomer le'echos is the name of one of these five cities. Heres also means to destroy. Harisa and churban. Ir haheres yomer le'echos could mean that any one of these five cities that turns away from Hashem will be destroyed. And the Targum actually connects both pesukim. The Targum on this pasuk says, Karta beis shemesh, the city of the sun, dasida lemechrav, that will be destroyed. That the pasuk used the word heres in terms of destruction and in terms of the sun. But ir haheres ye omer le'echos, the city of heres, the city of the sun, the city that will be destroyed, will be one of these five cities. These five cities are going to speak Sfas Canaan. They're going to speak the language of Canaan. The language of Canaan, the simple meaning is, as the Mitzudah says, Lashon HaKodesh. They'll be speaking Lashon HaKodesh. But when you have these Egyptians speaking the language, the Pasuk doesn't call it Lashon HaKodesh. The Pasuk calls it Tzfas Canaan, the land of Canaan. Canaan was the one that, almost as if Chum had a number of children, Uvnei Chum, Kushu, Mitzrayim, Ufutu, Chanaan. Canaan and Mitzrayim both come from the same father. They're all descendants of Chum. And even though now Klal Yisrael, Eretz Canaan is our land, it's Eretz Yisrael, but when Mitzrayim adopts this language, it could be Mitzrayim will feel they're speaking their, almost their native language. This is the language of Canaan, and Canaan is their cousins. Their Mitzrayim and Canaan have something in common. And the truth is, Lashon HaKodesh, one of the Mefarshim discusses in Parshas Vayigash, when it talks, Yosef told the brothers, you see, Kifi Hamedabra Aleichem, I'm speaking to you in the language of Lashon HaKodesh. And over there the question is, if the language that Yosef spoke and that the brothers spoke was the language in Eretz Yisrael, I would assume thousands of people spoke it. What was so special about this language that Yosef showed he knew in common with his brothers? And the truth is, Lashon HaKodesh is not the simple language of spoken in Eretz Canaan. It's not the simple language spoken in Eretz Yisrael. And could be over here, Medabro Sfas Canaan. They spoke the language of Canaan, but it wasn't, and it was basically Lashon HaKodesh, but it really wasn't the 100% Lashon HaKodesh. It could be it was the Sfas Canaan, the land. They're going to feel something in common with the people of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to serve Hashem. They're going to be nishpoz Hashem tzvokos. But Lashon HaKodesh, besides the discussion why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, either because it's the holy language, the Ramban discusses this in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Why is the shekel called Shekel HaKodesh? The simple meaning is the shekel that the Torah uses is the Shekel HaKodesh. It's the holy shekel, because that's the shekel that the Torah uses. And Lashon HaKodesh is the holy language, because that's the Lashon that the Torah uses. That's the Lashon that Hashem speaks to the Nevi'im in. It's a machlokis, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban learns that it's called Lashon HaKodesh because there are no indecent words and no words that refer to anything that's off color or anything that's not proper. There's no Hebrew word for it. To give you a very simple example, soa means excrement. But it's not like in English the word excrement or dung means exactly what you're referring to. The word soa actually comes from the word to be, say, to go out. Yotza, it went out. Soa means something that's expelled. on our own, we know the word is used, something that's expelled, the waste materials that are expelled from the body. But the word soa is not any word that denotes anything that's dirty or anything. It just means soa, comes out. That's an example. But, so, speaking Lashon HaKodesh, but the truth is the whole Lashon HaKodesh, other Meforshim say, you know, it's a marvel. I think one of the greatest, it's almost a nace. The more somebody learns Lashon HaKodesh, the language itself is, you see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Lashon HaKodesh. I say we've discussed in the past, certain, in English, words, items are given names just for the sake of convenience. In other words, if there's an animal with four legs and it has a certain characteristics and a certain size and a certain pedigree, we'll call it a dog. But in Lashon HaKodesh, we're not going to make up a name for it. They look at such a creature and they say, you know, this animal is the type of person that really loves his master. He has a certain loyalty. And people are going to appreciate it because of its loyalty. You know, a person who raises cows keeps cows because they provide milk. And if you have sheep, you probably do that because you want the wool. But people will have dogs simply because it's kelev. It's like a heart. You feel the dog cares for you, and there's all those stories about, you know, the dog caring for his master. Kelev, it's like he has a heart. Let's call it a kelev. So the noun for that word is now kelev. Instead of kelev is kelev. And the words in Lashon HaKodesh actually describe what the item is. And it's a shorter alphabet than in English. It's a more, there aren't the vocabulary in Lashon HaKodesh is relatively small. There aren't that many different words. That's why if you go to Eretz Yisrael nowadays and you try to speak conversational Hebrew, there's so many words that you don't know how to express yourself. And yet, in Lashon HaKodesh and in learning, it's possible to give a whole shiur and discussion and discuss Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. There's enough words for that, and yet, when you come down to your day-to-day life, sometimes it's just not, there aren't that many words. And the words are related, and yet they give, each one has its own nuance and its own meaning that fit in with the psukim. The more somebody studies Lashon HaKodesh, you appreciate that it's the holy language. But here in Mitzrayim, these five cities are going to be Medabro Sfas Canaan. They're going to speak the language of Canaan, which again is simply, the simple meaning is they're speaking Lashon HaKodesh. I don't know if it's, depending on their madrega, it probably determines how kadosh it is. But they're speaking the language of Canaan, Lashon HaKodesh. V'nishpos Lashem Tzvokos. And they swear with the name of Hashem, because that's the one that they know is the one who controls and has the power. Ir haheres yomer leechos. The city of the sun, or the city that will be destroyed, that's the name of one of these cities. It could also be, it doesn't say v'nishvos, that they swear, Bashem tzvokos, with the name of Hashem, but they swear Lashem Tzvokos. They swear to Hashem. Like one person swears to another, and he can swear by Hashem, but he's swearing to another person. Here these cities make a pact together, and they all agree they're swearing to Hashem, that we will serve you, Hashem. And if not, whichever city reneges and whichever city tries to back out of this agreement should be destroyed. The city that will be destroyed will be any one of these cities that doesn't keep their part of the bargain. Again, we don't see where this happened in history, that the whole city, the whole country of Mitzrayim seems to have been so dedicated to Hashem. Could be these were smaller cities. We'll learn a Gemara about this shortly. But could be these were smaller cities in Mitzrayim. Other Meforshim learn that they were, or they will be, large cities, and each city has many outlying villages. It's a question of exactly the size and the location of which cities they are. The Malbim does identify them. One of them, he says, is the city of Memphis in the land of Mitzrayim. But what is of note is this incident, the whole story that happened with Sanherib conquering Mitzrayim and coming to Eretz Yisrael and then being destroyed, was toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. From the point of the Churban Bayis Rishon and on, there was a Jewish community in Mitzrayim. The Gemara discusses it in Sukkah. They had a tremendous Beis HaKnesses, a tremendous shul in Mitzrayim, and it was so large you couldn't hear the brachas on the other end of the shul. They used to wave a flag, and everyone knew when to answer Amen. But it was a very large shul. It was massive. And through the centuries, Mitzrayim had a Jewish community. And some of Forshim have pointed out that even though we might not be aware of where these cities were and exactly when in history this happened, you can see that the effects of it, that Mitzrayim at this point was a place that was comfortable and Jews were able to settle and to serve Hashem, and they were receptive to the Avodas Hashem. Could be was all affected by what these psukim are saying. Rashi says, in the middle of this Rashi, on this pasuk, Umeheichan lamda, where did Umeheichan lamda Yonasan, where did Yonasan learn that such a thing would happen? That there was a nevuah of Yirmiyah, that was a nevuah about the city Tachpanches, that the idols would be broken over there, and therefore the Targum Yonasan understood that there'll be a city that will be destroyed, and we'll see in a moment in Pasuk Yutes, by Yomahu Yia Mizbeach Lashem, instead of serving the idols, these cities will accept that they will serve Hashem. And they're even going to set up a mizbeach. They'll have an altar for Hashem. Besoch Eretz Mitzrayim, in the middle of the land of Mitzrayim, there's going to be a mizbeach. Umatseva Eitzel Gevula. And there will be a matseva, a pillar, that's an altar from a single stone. A large boulder is set up, and sacrifices are brought on this matseva. Or sometimes it's there as a sign, just everyone should remember to serve Hashem. Umatseva Eitzel Gevula. They'll have a matseva near the boundary. Lashem for Hashem. And Yirmiyah said in Nevuah that in the city of Tachpanches, the idols will be broken, and they'll come to serve Hashem, and there'll be a and therefore this could be is where he understood that there'll be a mizbeach and a matseva for Hashem. The Rashi on Pasuk Yud Ches brings down exactly when these five cities existed and what the story was. And Rashi says as follows. A lot of this is a Gemara in Menachos, which we'll see afterwards. Rashi says, Shaninu b'Seder Olam, we learned in Seder Olam, Achar ma'paltel shel Sancheiriv. After the downfall of Sancheiriv, Amar Chizkiyo arose, the whole army outside the city was destroyed. And Chizkiyo, who was in Yerushalayim, will arise, Upatres ho'chlusin, and he dismissed all those people that were outside, Shehevim omi Mitzrayim omi Kush, that Sancheiriv brought from Egypt, and he brought from Kush, Bekolorin, and he brought them in chains ifnei Yerushalayim, in front of Yerushalayim. Sancheiriv with his army had many captives who were in chains, and they had been brought to Yerushalayim. The army was wiped out, and Chizkiyo dismissed all those captives that were in chains. V'kibul aleim malchus shamayim, and those captives accepted that they were going to serve Hashem. V'chozru l'makayman, and then they went back to their country. Shenemar, and this is the pasuk. Bayomahu, on that day, you chomesh orim, there'll be five cities v'gomer, there'll be five cities in the land of Mitzrayim. V'holchu, and these people went. Ubonu Mizbeach Lashem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. And they built a Mizbeach for Hashem in the land of Mitzrayim. Umakrivin Olav Korban Lashemayim. And they brought on this Mizbeach a Korban. Lakayim Masha Nemar, in fulfillment of the Pasuk, Bayomahu Yir Mizbeach Lashem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. On that there will be a Mizbeach for Hashem in the land of Mitzrayim. So right after the destruction of Sancheiriv's army, the captives realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who did all this, and they accepted Malchus Shemayim, and they went back to their country. And they set up a Mizbeach and a Matzeva to serve Hashem. And Rashi continues, V'reish me'rabo seinu she'dorshu b'maseches menochos al Mizbeach beis chonyo. They explain this is going on the Mizbeach of Beis Chonyo, Benoshal Shimon HaTzadik, the son of Shimon HaTzadik, Shebarach lo l'Mitzrayim, he fled to Mitzrayim, v'osa shom Mizbeach. And he made a Mizbeach. And this is a very fascinating story. It's remarkable. Although it's sort of a sad story, it's hard to imagine such a thing happening. But the Gemara says as follows, in Menachos on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis. It discusses the year that Shimon HaTzadik was Nifter. He told the people that year he was going to die. He realized that he was going to die that year. And they said to me, Nayin Atzi Yodeya, how do you know that this is the last year that you're going to live? And Amrlan, he said, Kol Yom HaKippurim Nizdamen Li Zokei Nechod. Every Yom Kippur, when he went into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he met somebody appeared like a zokin, an old man, lovush levonim, wearing white clothing, v'nisatef levonim, and wrapped up in white, v'nichnasimi v'yotzimi, and he came in with me to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and he exited with me. In other words, he felt that Hashem was encouraging him. There was this appearance, the zokin, that went in and out with him. This year, when he went into the Kodesh Kadoshim, the zokein that met him was wearing black. V'nisatev shechorim, and wrapped up in black. V'nichnasimi, he went in with me, v'lo yotzimi, but he didn't exit with me. I came out alone. And therefore he realized that was a signal that this was the last year of his life. La'achar ha'regel, after Sukkot, chol ha'shivas yomim, Shimon HaTzadik was sick for 7 days. Umeisen, he was nifter. V'nimnu echav ha'kohanim milavorech b'shem. And at that time, the Kohanim stopped. When they said Birchas Kohanim, they stopped using the Shem HaMeforosh. B'shas b'tiroso. Anyways, at the time that Shimon HaTzadik was nifter, right at that time, Omer Lahem, he said to the people there, Chonyo b'ni yishamish tachtoi. My son Chonyo should serve in my place. Niskani bo shimei ochiv, sheyogoro mimenu shtei shonim u'mechza. Now Chonyo had an older brother. I don't know why Shimon HaTzadik didn't select the older son, but he selected Chonyo to be the Kohen Gadol. But his older brother Shimei, who was 2.5 years older, was jealous. Omar loy, so he said to his younger brother, Boval amercha seder avoida. I'm going to come and I'll teach you how to do the avoida. You're now going to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Come and I'll tell you what to do. Which is very interesting that, you know, Shimon HaTzadik never taught his son how to do the avoida. He didn't know. He'll be so unkeli. So he put on some type of leather clothing, v'chogro b'tziltzul, and he put on some type of unusual belt. Hamido etzal mizbeach, and he told Chonyo, stand here right by the mizbeach, and get ready to do the avoida. Then Shimi went to the other kohanim. Omer lahem le'echov ha'kohanim. And then he said to his brethren, the kohanim, Re'u ma noder zeh v'kayim la'ahuvoso. Take a look at what Chonyo must have made a promise to his wife. His wife must have made a bet with him. She must have said, I want you to go ahead and wear these clothing. And he must have made a neder and kept his promise to his wife that he was going to do this. Rashi says, "La'uvasu is li'ishto." Osa hayoyim, he must have promised her that on that day, sheshtamish b'kahuna gedoyla, the day that I serve as kohen gadol, elbosh b'unkali shalichi, va'achgar b'tziltzul shalichi, I'll wear your clothing, this leather garment was obviously his wife's clothing, and I'll put on your belt. In other words, it seems like he was a complete amharitz, that he knew nothing. In other words, he didn't even know the kohanim have to wear special clothing. So Shimi said to him, take a look what he must have promised his wife that he would wear on the day of his inauguration. You know, like Lahavdil, a guy promises what clothing he's going to wear for the inauguration. This, he promised his wife, he'll wear this. Bigshu echav ha-kohanim lahargo. So the other kohanim were ready to kill him. Rotz mipneim, so Chonyo ran away. Vrotzu achrov, and all the kohanim were in hot pursuit. They were ready to kill him. What kind of a chutzpah in the base of Migdash? And Shimon HaTzadik was one of the greatest tzaddikim and leaders Klal Yisrael had, and one of the greatest kohanim gedolim. It says when he did the avoda all the years, I think 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, the strip of wool that was hanging. And when the Sor HaMishtaleach was thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippur, and they used to hang a strip of red wool, it always turned white. It was a siman that during the years of Shimon HaTzadik, they always knew their sins were forgiven. There were other things that happened special in the times of Shimon HaTzadik. Halach Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. So now Chonyo was running for his life. He went all the way to Alexandria. He got out of the country. And he went to Egypt. Ubona Sham Mizbeach. And he built over there an altar. V'hel olav l'shum avodis kochovim. And according to this opinion, he built an altar, but it was used for avodah zarah. Uchshashamu chachomim b'dovra. When chachomim heard what happened, Amru, they said, Mazeh shelo yorad lo. Somebody who wasn't interested in the honor. It wasn't like Chonyo was seeking to be the Kohen Gadol. Actually, Shimi. Umazeh shelo yorad lo. Shimi never served as the Kohen Gadol. And yet, you see, kach, what happened? He was passed over and he lost that honor, that chance to be the Kohen Gadol. And you see what type of a wicked thing he did. Just because of his jealousy. Hayorid lo al achas kama v'kama. If somebody once experiences the honor and then it's taken away from him, you can imagine how much that hurts. In other words, Shimi never was Kohen Gadol. His younger brother was appointed. And yet, you see, he did such an extreme thing because he lost out on the opportunity. So certainly somebody who loses out the honor. Divi Rabbi Meir. Amalu Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo kacha yamaisa." That's not what happened. Lo kibo lov Chonyo. The truth is, Chonyo was told to be the Kohen Gadol, and he declined. His father told him, "You should be the Kohen Gadol," but he declined. Shayashimi achiv gadol mimenu shtei shonu mechza, because he let his older brother be the Kohen Gadol. Va'afa pikein iskana bo Chonyo b'shimi achiv. But even though he was mevater and he gave it up to his brother, the truth is, He felt bad. In other words, he declined. He knew his brother was older. Could be he was more fit, according to this explanation. And he was more deserving. He knew more, according to the second explanation. And he was jealous. So Amar lo bova la mircha seder avoida. And the same story, v'lbisho b'unkali v'chogro b'tziltzul. Here Chonyo is telling his older brother how to do the avoida. According to this one, we would understand why Shimi wanted Chonyo to be the Kohen Gadol. Chonyo knew what to do. And according to this explanation, his older brother didn't know. So anyways, he had Shimi, his older brother, wearing these women's clothing, standing by the Mizbeach, and Chonyo told all the Kohanim, look at what my brother must have sworn to his wife, and how he's going to do the Avodah. Osayom sheishtamish b'kuna gedoyla, he'll wear these clothing. Bikshu echav ha-kohanim lahargo. So now, all the Kohanim want to kill Shimi. So they came after him, Sochlem Kolam Ura. And he said, 1 minute. Shimi told them the whole story. You should know I agree. I don't know anything. I'm an Am Haaretz. And my brother told me that I should wear this clothing when I do the Avodah. So once they heard the whole story and they realized that it was Chonyo who was behind it, Bikshu Largas Chonyo, Rotz Mipnei, he ran away and he went to the palace and they came running after him. Wherever he went, they pointed, oh, that's Chonyo, he ended up in Egypt. Uvona Shom Yizbeach V'Helolov L'Shem Shomayim. According to this explanation, Chonyo ran to Mitzrayim and he built a Mizbeach for Hashem. So, exactly who was the one who served as the Kohen Gadol and who was the one who ran to, in other words, Chonyo was the one who ran to Mitzrayim and he's the one who built an altar. The question is, did he make the Mizbeach L'Shem Shomayim or did he make it for Avodah Zorah? According to the explanation that he did it L'Shem Shamayim, that is this pasuk. Shenemar Bayomahu Yir Mizbeach L'Hashem B'Soch Eretz Mitzrayim. Chonyo came to Mitzrayim and he had this experience, whatever, his older brother was the Am Haaretz, was serving as the Kohen Gadol. He really was the one who should have done it and he was fit. But due to the course of events, he ended up fleeing for his life. But he was the one who was fit to be Kohen Gadol. And he knew this pasuk in Yeshaya. This pasuk was said at the end, toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Shimon HaTzadik was near the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So he knew this nevuah. And he said, the pasuk says, Vayomahu yim izbeach l'Hashem b'soch eretz Mitzrayim. There'll be a mizbeach for Hashem in the land of Mitzrayim. U'matzeva eitzel gevula l'Hashem. And there'll be a matzeva by the boundary l'Hashem. And therefore, there is a basis for setting up a Mizbeach in Mitzrayim. And that's what Chonyo did. And he made a Mizbeach to serve Hashem. The opinion that holds that it was a Mizbeach for Avodah Zorah will learn that this pasuk has nothing to do with that incident. This pasuk could be as the other explanation. That when Sancheiriv's army was wiped out, and the captives were released by Chizkiyo, and they went back to Egypt, they set up an altar for Hashem. But nothing to do with Chonyo. The other explanation is Chonyo did it for Avodah Zorah. But Uchshashamu Chachomim B'Dovar, when the Chachomim, just to finish the lesson of this, when the Chachomim heard what happened, Amru, they said, according to the second explanation, Umazeh Shaborach Mimeno, according to this way the story is related, Chonyo had actually fled from being Kohen Gadol. He volunteered to let his brother do it. He declined. So he was like the one who was boreach mina kavod. He didn't want to be Kohen Gadol. At least that's what he told the people. He agreed to let his older brother do it. And yet, hamavakish levered lo alachas kama v'kama. You see from here that if somebody does want to have the kavod and he doesn't get it, certainly it can lead to terrible outcomes. So that's this Mizbeach that's set up for Hashem in the land of Mitzrayim. If it was, by the way, if it was set up L'Shem Shamayim, Tosfos asks that once we have Yerushalayim, from now on, from the times of Shlomo HaMelech on, there'll never be bamos permitted. You're not allowed to make an altar in your backyard and bring a korban. That's not allowed anymore. Once we have Yerushalayim, it's not permitted. So Tosfos says, Tema hareyesh kan iser shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to shech the korban for Hashem wherever you want. V'nira d'livnei noyach hayamale. Hanodrim nedorim unedovos. It could be it was for the b'nei Noach. In other words, he set up an altar in Mitzrayim for any goy who wants to serve Hashem. Instead of going to his temple, if you want to serve Hashem, let the goyim come to this altar, and the goyim could bring sacrifices on a bum. Just one last point. Tosis asks, again, this Tosis on Kuf Tesamid Beis. Tema, Hodarshinim B'Toras Kohanim, Tachas Oviv, Bizman Shumimali Mokom Oviv. It says a Kohen Gadol should be replaced by his son. But only if the son is able to fulfill the father's position, he's worthy of it. And obviously, Chonyo or Shimi, whichever son was the one who to serve, didn't know what he was doing. His brother had to tell him, come and I'll teach you what to do. If he doesn't know how to do the avoda, he's not worthy of being a Kohen Gadol. Just because his father was the Gadol Hador, the Tzadik Hador. But if the son is not worthy, he doesn't get the job. V'yeshlomar, Satoisis answers, D'v'yiras chet, ho'yim amali mokom avosav. In his yiras chet, he was worthy of following in the footsteps of his father. It's just a fascinating, almost hard to believe. In other words, but according to Tosis, in his Yiras Chet, he was a worthy successor to Shimon HaTzadik. But he didn't know anything. He didn't even know what the Kohen Gadol should wear when he does the Avodah. It could be he saw the Big Day Kuna, but since he didn't know the Avodah, maybe he thought the first day was different. In other words, it seems to be not just, you know, the fact he was wearing unusual clothing, that's all part of just not knowing the Avodah, and He didn't know the halachas, but especially according to that Tosfos, that in Yiras Chet he was a fitting successor, and still you see what happened with that he ended up going to Mitzrayim. It's a scary thing how far a person can be misled by jealousy or by kavod. So Pasuk says, "V'hoya la'osu la'eid," it'll be a sign. And it'll be like a witness. L'Hashem Tzavokos, V'Hashem Tzavokos, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Mitzrayim. It could be the Mizbeach. That will be as a le'ed, a warning, the way the Malbim learns. And the Matseva that's on the boundary, that will be le'os, a sign. When the enemy comes into the land and they're ready to attack Mitzrayim, there's a Matseva, there's this altar by the boundary that's a reminder, Lashem, that we're serving Hashem and Hashem will help us. And it'll be La'os, V'hoya La'os, the Matseva on the boundary will be a sign that Hashem is, we're serving Hashem. Ula'eid, and the Mizbeach that's in the center of the country, that will be like an aid, like a warning, like a witness. Lashem Tzavokos, again, the Malbim says, L'Hashem Tzavokos is going on the Os, which is for the Matseva on the boundary. And Be'eretz Mitzrayim is the aid. Ki Yitzaku El Hashem, when they cry out to Hashem, Mipnei Lochatzim, because of people who oppress them, V'yishlach Lahem Moshia, Hashem will send them a Moshia, a savior, V'rov, and a leader, V'hitzilom, and that leader will deliver them. Throughout it was talking about Hashem Tzavokos, because we were talking about Hashem Tzavokos, Hashem who controls all of the different hosts and the groups and the armies and the world. Every pasuk from Tezayin and Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, every time is Hashem Tzavokos. But this is talking about people davening to Hashem. So it leaves out Hashem Tzavokos. We're not talking about Hashem showing His power and defeating the enemy, but they'll cry out to Hashem as to serve Hashem, and He'll send them a Moshiach. V'noda Hashem l'Mitzrayim. Hashem will be known to Mitzrayim. V'yodu Mitzrayim es Hashem b'yom ahu. And Mitzrayim will know Hashem on that day. V'ovdu zevachu mincha. And they'll serve with a korban and a mincha from flour. They'll bring the different sacrifices. V'nodru neder l'Hashem. And they'll make nedarim for Hashem. V'shilemu. And they'll pay. They'll fulfill their vows. V'nogaf Hashem es Mitzrayim. And Hashem will strike Mitzrayim nogof v'rofo. A blow, but then He'll heal them. By Klal Yisrael, Hashem always has a refua kodim lamaka. First is the cure, and then comes the blow. By the goyim, first there's the blow. Hashem will strike Mitzrayim nogof. They'll be struck. But v'rofo, then they'll be healed. The other nations of the Goyim, when they're struck, they're eventually they're wiped out, they're destroyed. But at this point, Mitzrayim's going to recognize Hashem, and if they're struck, they'll be healed. Or it could be the point is, that's the way Rashi learns, after the Makkah, there'll be a Refuah. And others learn, the Malbim says, the Makkah itself is the Refuah. It's not going to be a blow to destroy them. It's going to be a blow to correct them and to heal them from straying off the path. That b'shavuat Hashem, the purpose will be that they'll return to Hashem, v'netar lohem. And v'netar, when they pray and they plead and they have supplications, Hashem will accept their multitude of prayer. V'netar lohem u'rafam, and Hashem will heal them. Bayomahu, on that day, tia mesila mimitzrayim ashura, there'll be a road from Mitzrayim to Ashur. Uvo Ashur b'mitzrayim u'mitzrayim ba'ashur, Mitzrayim will travel to Ashur and Ashur will travel to Mitzrayim. Va'ovdu Mitzrayim es Ashur, and Mitzrayim will serve Ashur. Or others learn, ovdu Mitzrayim es Ashur means Mitzrayim will serve with Ashur. Together they will serve Hashem. Again, it's not clear exactly when this happened or when this will happen. But there'll be that point in history, either Ashur and Mitzrayim will both recognize Hashem, like we'll see clearer in the next two Pesukim. But even so, Ashur will be the leader, and Mitzrayim will serve Ashur, and together they'll serve Hashem, or as equals they'll serve Hashem. But Bayomahu, on that day, Ye Yisrael Shlishiyah, Eretz Klal Yisrael will be the third party in this alliance. The Mitzrayim will Asher. They'll be together with Mitzrayim and Asher, and you'll have Yisrael, and they'll all together be a brocha b'kerav ha'aretz, a blessing in the midst of the land. Others learn Shlishiyah means they'll be the leader, like v'shalishi malkulo. Paro went to attack, and he had the leaders over his army. So Yisrael will be over the others. They'll be the shlishiyah. They'll be the leader. Asher berchu Hashem tzvokos leimor. Hashem has blessed Klal Yisrael, saying. Now one way to read the pasuk is Baruch Ami Mitzrayim. Blessed is my people Mitzrayim. That at this point Mitzrayim will also serve Hashem, and Hashem will say, "You're also my people. Blessed is my nation Mitzrayim. Umaseh yodai what I've created." Ashur, the Nachalos Yisrael, but Yisrael is special. Yisrael is the Nachala, an inheritance, something that passes on from the centuries, that Klal Yisrael was always aware of Hashem and always served Hashem, while Mitzrayim and Ashur later on, by seeing the miracles of Sancheiriv's destruction, Ashur at some point will come to realize that they also have to serve Hashem. But Yisrael is the Nachala. And the Malbim learns the explanation is Baruch Ami. Blessed is my nation. My nation is Klal Yisrael. And you know who's going to say that? Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim knows they were there when we became Hashem's nation. They were there by Yetzias Mitzrayim. They will see Baruch Ami. Umase Yodai. And those who bless the Maase Yodai, what I've created, will be Ashur. Asher seen what Hashem has done. They've seen the wonders of Hashem, and therefore they'll also recognize the greatness, what Hashem does for Klal Yisrael. V'nachalosi Yisrael, and Yisrael themselves will realize their own greatness, that they're the Nachla of Hashem.